And technology in the last 5 years, let's face it, has just look at Alexa and Siri and what your phone could do. I know I don't use 10% of what my phone could do. And so there is a lot of tools out there that we didn't have 20, 38 years ago, whatever. And so you just got to want to do it and got to have a little bit of drive and determination, and people will help you. And we're here to help and give advice and send people the right direction. But that online, there's just tons of, you know, devices and mechanical or electronic that can help you get through the day and help you get up and help you do something with your life. You just got to want to do it. You got to, you know, dig deep sometimes.
Do you need encouragement to turn tragedies into your own triumphant life story? If so, this podcast is for you. Listen to powerful guests who have persevered through challenges so you can gain strength to build your championship life. The host of Professor of Perseverance Podcast, Dr. James Perdue.
Hey, come on in. It's that time again for us to, you know, get fired up, educated. Let's get inspired. Let's provide some hope for someone, for others that need some type of help to get through today. You know, we all struggle somewhat, somehow. I don't care who you are. We're all going through something. We've all been through something. And before it's all over with, we're going to be through it again. So this show here is to help us find a way to find encouragement to be able to push through that challenge, that adversity, that struggle, and triumph on the other side. Hey, today our guest today, in 1997, he made his first Indy Racing League start 3 years later after becoming a rising star. Sorry to hear that he was in an automobile accident with it and became a quadriplegic. So, welcome to the show, Sam Smith.
James, thanks for having me.
No. Thank you for coming out on your busy schedule. And I know with all you're doing and everything and with all your racing team and, you know, league ownership, partner with and everything you're doing and your own foundation on help finding cures and stuff, I appreciate you taking and finding some time for me and all of us.
Well, anybody that's a fan of the Incredible Hulk and James Dean is a friend of mine. So
there you go. Hey, yeah, there's James Dean in the background. So he's seen a little accident in that car at one time, huh? So
yep.
All right, Sam, let's go and hop in. The day you're were you practicing for race or whatnot, and you crashed, and I mean, take us from there and bring us up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I started racing when I was five in motocross, and my dad raced off road, so we were racing family and did it every weekend. And the goal was always the Indy 500. I grew up in Southern California, and my hero was Rick Mears. He's from Bakersfield, California, raced off road, got hooked up with Roger Penske, won four Indy 500s, and he was my hero. So I wanted to follow that path. Was fortunate to race at Indy 97, 98, 99. My career peaked in 99 when I won the race at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, my adopted hometown. And everything was great. But then testing for the 2000 season in Orlando, I hit the wall. Blew apart C3, C4. On a ventilator, things didn't look good. But I've got a great family, great community in the motorsports community to back me up. And, you know, we persevered and got me into a rehab center in St. Louis, got me off the ventilator, and here we are, 21 years later.
There you go, 21 years. Now, not that I'm on bragging rights or anything, but I'm at 38 years with my injury. And so, you know, time seems to go better and faster than what you think when you first get injured. But once you learn life, learn to do the best that you can, you know, it's moves pretty quick.
Takes a system. I mean, I was Mr. Spontaneity before, and that's out the window. You know, with this, you got to have somebody come help get you up, and people help you do most things. But you're right. I mean, time flies, and they gave me 2 to 5 years because of the ventilator and my other injuries and stuff. And, you know, here I am. So, you know, don't take the doctor's prognosis.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you say 2 to 5 for you because of the ventilator. I got hurt when I was 19, and they didn't tell me, but they told my family that if I made it to 40, you know, that's a good life for me, is what they told my family. And they told me that later. So, yes, people, if your spinal cord injury or any other type of, you know, special needs going on, challenges, don't listen to the doctors all the time. I'm not saying never listen. Just don't listen all the time. So,
well, my mantra is, if you don't like what you hear, you know, suck an opinion, you know, and see if it's fact. And that's what we did.
Yeah, exactly. Especially now with everything on the end of your fingertips. And of course, with you, with your mouthpiece and blow and, what's it called? Sip and puff, that, you're able to get this information firsthand, basically, with all the knowledge and everything. So.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, Sam, you mentioned something here early on, and I'm 1,000% with you, that family support, community support, that makes a world of difference. Because I've met some people that did not have, especially the family support, and they found themselves up in a nursing home or in a program that they didn't like. And so, yeah, if you could go a little bit deeper with your family and the other Indy community racing family as well to help you out.
Well, what I didn't mention before is that when I was 11, my father was actually paralyzed racing in Mexico. And so we've been through this rodeo once before.
Oh, no. See, I didn't know that. I didn't know that part of the story. Yeah.
He had a collision and his brain slapped up against his skull. And it was more like a brain injury, but it did paralyze his right side, lost his speech. 1974, they said he'd never walk or talk again. And I watched him through 2 years of outpatient therapy, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, you know, kick that butt and get back the use of his speech and his leg. And only thing he didn't get back was his arm. And he went on to, you know, build a very successful auto parts business until he was, you know, 65 years old. And then he retired. He's still alive at nearly like 76. So he, you know, I kind of, because of that, had no other option than to fight for it. But, you know, first and foremost, our family as a whole has always had a really strong faith. And I can't imagine going through it without that. I've met people who have, and it's not that it's impossible. But for us, that's a great way for us to deal with things. Second, our family, I've got an incredible wife, you know, 29 years, 21 of which I've been in a wheelchair. My kids were 6 months and 1.5, and they've been very supportive, very helpful. And I like to think, because of watching what we're doing with the team, with the foundation, and how much work it takes, that has had a unique influence on them. And they've turned out to be great, giving kids. And then third, the motorsports community was fantastic. You know, it's like, and they still are. Anything you need, any assistance, I mean, still, after 20 years supporting our foundation with our fundraising events and stuff. I had professional athlete insurance. I had the supportive family. I had this motorsports community. So I realize I am probably in the, you know, 0.1% of people with spinal cord injuries and or disabilities as a whole, because also had an MBA in international finance. So I had a way to go back and make a living and a lot of support to do that. And I know a lot of people don't, but I mean, one of these days I'm going to write a book for all the hundreds of people that I've met, not unlike yourself, that that didn't have what I had, yet they figured, what the hell, I only got time. There is a lot of vocational programs. There are transportation opportunities. There are a lot of things, if you find them, and if you put the effort in, you can do a lot. And I've just got example after example, example of people that have, if they put some effort in, they have actually done much more for society after their injury or after their disability than they would have, you know, in their old ways, so to speak. And so I'm motivated by those people because I realize, you know, I had a lot more than they did going in my favor. And that's one of the reasons we opened up the Driven Neuro Recovery Center in downtown Las Vegas, was to just give these people a little support, knowledge, encouragement, and try to break down the barriers they may have to doing what they want to do in life.
I have said it multiple times that I'm not glad I got paralyzed. I'm not that. But I'm glad that if I had to have my injury, that I've had it in this time frame. I would hate to think 40, 50 years ago, with technology non-existent from today. I mean, I know people, I read one book, I forgot the guy's name right now, but he started driving basically a milk truck and he had a broomstick doing the gas and brake, you know, a paraplegic learning how to drive. And so I'm so blessed and thankful that if I had to have it, I'm glad it's during this type of technology.
Amen.
So now let's speak on the technology here. You have done two or three things because of technology. Now, for the ones that don't know, Sam is a quadriplegic, which he is totally paralyzed from your chin down.
Yes, sir.
From your neck down. So he can't move his arms, legs, fingers, toes. All right. But here, because of thanks of technology, you have been able to re-experience standing, walking, and back at driving a vehicle, even though he cannot move from his neck down. So if you want to go, now the standing and walking has been with the aid of what's called an exoskeleton. I've seen those. I haven't experienced using one, but I've seen them. But you have experienced it. So give us a little insight on that when you first stood again and looking down instead of up at people. Looking at eye level.
Amazing experience. You know, it all started with Aero Electronics about 7 years ago. I had done some work at Craig Hospital in Denver. They're a Denver-based company, a $30 billion tech company who wanted to kind of create a story of what their capabilities were. So they came up with the idea and named it Semi-Autonomous Mobility, or SAM, long before they heard of me, which was kind of a serendipitous moment. I knew people at Craig. They called people at Craig. Anybody, you know, might want to drive again that can't use arms and legs. And the guy's like, oh yeah, we got the guy, you know, he previous racer, etc. So they called me. I said, you know, we had a meeting and I said, I'm not interested in driving unless I can go fast. I mean, I could figure out how to drive around the street if I wanted to, but I want to, you know, if I'm going to do this, put in the effort, and just go through the whole program, I'm going to want to, you know, go fast. And so we set the goal of 100 miles an hour, and it was amazing. They did everything. You know, the first go around was pretty rude, pretty prototypical. We did some work at a simulator before we put in the car, but literally 8 months after our first conversation, I drove around Indy at 107. And that was great. That was fantastic. And then they said, well, what else you want to do? And so we went faster, 150 the next year. 16-17 was really busy. We raced up Pikes Peak. We went about 180. I got my driver's license. I gave my kids rides around Washington, D.C. and Boston. We just did a ton of stuff, promoting Aero, promoting the car, promoting the technology. And so it was super cool, but I had said back in 2013, I said, oh, my daughter's only about 16 now, and I think it'll take a long time for her to find somebody to put up with her. But when she does get married, I'm going to want to stand. And the CEO at that time said, hey, man, no problem. We'll make it happen. So she had been dating the same guy for a couple of years. about a year ago, and I called the CEO and said, look, I didn't think she'd find somebody, but she found the one. This guy's the guy. We better keep on that project, right? So they partnered, and that's the core of their business. They don't create anything new when it comes to technology. They just use existing technology, reconfigure it in a different way, and get a different outcome. And so everything on that car is actually, you know, kind of 5, 10, 15-year-old tried and trusted equipment that they reconfigured in that way to help me drive that car. So same thing with the EXO. They partnered with Vanderbilt on the EXO they had developed and commercialized. Then they built a back brace. They you know, worked with the software. I still, at this point, they're calling it 1.0. I still need somebody to balance me behind me because of my high level. But that is their goal with 2.0 is to make it, you know, so I don't have to get balanced, which would be a pretty big task in the industry. And so that's what they're working on. But I did April 25th get to dance the first dance at my daughter's wedding. It required about 9 months of hard work on the exoskeleton. And I was going to driven 2-3 days a week, you know, standing, walking in there. In their geo trainer, doing anything for, you know, bone density, that kind of thing. And it lost about 20 pounds getting ready. So it was a very good experience. And to your point, I've stood in standing frames and other apparatus over the last 20 years, but I've never been like sort of upright and feeling like there's nothing around me. There was stuff holding me up, but I just felt normal, you know, like I am looking at most people's tops of their heads. And, you know, seeing a lot of bald stops I hadn't seen before, but it was a very emotional, fantastic experience with about 150 close friends and family. And everybody went crazy because we surprised them. And it was fantastic. So now we're continuing to use the XO at Driven, and Arrow's working on what it'll take to get rid of that person behind me.
I would think there would be a lot different, exciting standing in a standing frame compared to the exoskeleton. I would think you would feel freer, you know, you're in that box in that standing frame. And no matter what's happening, you're in a box. Here, this exoskeleton, you know, there's potential to do something different.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the box. I got typically a desk in front of me. I'm doing work. I'm just kind of pressed up like a sandwich, you know, like some kind of machine is holding me up. But it is in the EXO. But I did, you know, I could walk around the block. You know, I did about on average 300-400 steps every week, and that was just And after a while, it really feels like, you know, there's nothing around you. You're doing it yourself, even though we're not initiating, but it's like, and you can't feel you can feel a little bit of the strike and stuff, but you know, it is this overwhelming sense of freedom. And then, you know, I underestimated the value of a full body hug, right? I knew I missed it, but when I was standing up and people could literally come up and give me a full on full body hug, you know, right now they bend over, they give you a hug in your chair, they pat you on the back, and that's, you know, it's okay, but it's not a full body hug, you know, and so it's pretty cool.
Yes, I would think so. I met a man named Norm. Hey, Norm. I hate to say this, but old Norm, he passed away a few years ago. But he told me for about 2 years that if he won the lottery, he was going to buy me an exoskeleton. And old Norm passed away before he won the lottery. But Norm, I appreciate your thought and generosity that you would offer to do that to help me out. So I appreciate that, old Norm. So, Sam, we're going to take here about 2.5 minutes, maybe three. I got this video we're going to show people here that's watching. Anyone that's coming and listening on the replay, just go Google Sam Smith's walking, Sam Smith's driving, and you can see the video from there. But we're going to take I'm not going to watch the whole thing, but a couple of minutes here, Sam, for people that are watching, and let them see you driving and standing and from there. Hold on, let me get this one more click away, and I think we're ready. And we'll put it on the screen by itself. All right, here we go.
It's a practice day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Arrow McLaren team owner Sam Schmidt is standing trackside. We said standing. Sam Schmidt is a quadriplegic.
When you were in that bed 20-some years ago, flat on your back in Florida, did you think this was possible?
Not even close. Yeah, we didn't know if I'd make it the first week, let alone the first month.
Schmidt was then an IndyCar driver. A crash in Orlando left him paralyzed from the shoulders down.
Everybody thought it was insane that why would I go back to a sport that put me in a wheelchair? I've been racing since I was 5 years old. It's all I ever want to do is compete at this place. And that to me is what's kept me alive for 21 years.
We first met Sam 5 years ago. And truth be told, we had our doubts. Could a man in his condition actually drive? Yep. 3 years later, he brought his much-improved high-tech car to New York. We rode with him through Manhattan traffic from Harlem to Rockefeller Center. He has since raced up Pikes Peak and competed in an amateur race. What if, wondered the people at Arrow Electronics, they could get Sam walking?
When they presented you with the idea of let's try to do this, what did you say?
Where do I sign up? Where do I go? What do you want me to do?
We watched as Sam's team got him set up in an exoskeleton.
This is 1.0, clearly. Their goal with it is that I won't need to be balanced and that I will be able to operate completely myself, which is a mega task.
Imagine walking without assistance. Sam does.
Do you dream about it?
You know, that's the funny thing, Harry. In 21 years, I've never had a dream where I was in a wheelchair. I'm always walking around, you know, with my kids and the race team and everything else.
That morning, Sam's racing team saw something they had never seen before. Their boss, not in a wheelchair.
What is it like for you to be standing up?
I've almost ran out of words to describe the feeling in this entire process. Epic, mega, unbelievable. After 21 years, I didn't remember what the view was like.
The view.
I haven't gotten a full body hug in 21 years. And we got some of those today.
There were.
All right, Sam, let's get us back up on here. How do I do this? All right, there we go. All right, Sam, we're not going to watch the whole video. We'll let other people go figure it out. And again, if you're on the replay, you can go to Sam Smith's, again, walking or driving or exoskeleton, something like that, and you'll find dancing with his daughter at the wedding. There you go. Go Google that one and watch that one. I watched that one earlier today as well. So, Sam, after seeing that, I mean, you've experienced everything, and does it still give you little tingling feelings watching and hearing and seeing those again?
Oh, yeah. No, it never gets old. Harry Smith has done 4 or 5 pieces on us, and so he knew the entire history of our path and our journey and did a great job telling the story. And at the end of that piece, if people find it, I do dance with my daughter. Or if you're on TikTok, I'm not. Apparently somebody reposted on TikTok. It's got over 5 million views. So, you know, that's cool. I mean, I am doing this stuff because it drives me. It, you know, 2.5 hours get out of bed every day. So I got a reason to get up and I want to make the most of every day. So I push to do this kind of stuff, whether it's driving, walking, race team, foundation. And that's what motivates me. But in finding out that it's motivated a lot of other people to do things in their lives they didn't think they could do, that is extra motivational and inspirational to me. And I've come to the realization that that's why I'm in this wheelchair. You know, I'm helping a lot more people through the foundation, through the race team than I ever could have as just an IndyCar driver, which is, you know, an IndyCar driver is a great thing. And I wouldn't wish this on anybody, but at the end of the day, that's what I'm on earth for.
Now, I can tell you, I know you say you still live for the Indy, still live for the racing, love the excitement and everything, but I can tell personally by experience that you love, like you just mentioned, about helping others with encouragement, something to get them through today. You used to do, and I'm not sure if you still continue, what's called Day at the Races. And it was been 2009 or maybe 2010. A friend of mine said that an organization said you were coming in town with your group for the race in Nashville, Tennessee, and they were having a day at the races and asked, do I want tickets? And I said, to go to a racing event? Yeah. And so I got a couple of tickets for me and my buddy that went with me, and we got to meet you personally, had lunch with you with everybody, and you're a standout guy. Appreciate all you do not just for me being an older guy, but there are some younger kids that were just in awe getting to firsthand see a racing team and what goes on and what it looks like, talking with some of these drivers. And so I want to reach out and thank you personally for that day for me and others from there.
Yeah, we started that program because not yourself, because you seem like a self-motivated guy, but there's a lot of people that have a disorder, any disorder, and they just don't even leave the house, that are afraid or they don't think what things will be accessible. So we started that to show the accessible nature of the racetracks and help people come out and help people. And I just went to the USA-Mexico game last night over here in Las Vegas at the new Allegiant Stadium. And people, they make accommodations, I don't want to be like dollied over and like special treated, but here's where the elevator is and here's where your seat is. And, people make accommodations. So you got to know that feel comfortable to go out and do it. So that was the first thing. But then really it's so I can look people in the eye and say, look, dude, I know this sucks, but unless you're on a ventilator, you're not any worse off than me. And you can really make a difference. You can really do some great things in life. So how can we help you do that? That's the bottom line. And so we've had a couple of reasons we couldn't do that the last couple of years, but I'm hoping to get that program in certain markets again next year.
Well, I know you're going to be here this weekend in Nash Vegas, Tennessee. Maybe not Nash Vegas. We don't have all the gambling stuff. We do have good old lottery tickets, but be in Nashville this weekend and with your racing team and the rest of the teams.
Yeah, we're very excited. The guys from Big Machine and the promoters down there, it's going to be a hell of a party. It just happens to have an IndyCar race. It's a street course going back and forth on the bridge, close to downtown. I can't think of a better venue for a street course other than maybe Vegas. But
there you go.
I've heard of some of what's going on. Had Joseph Newgarden, the hometown boy, that's racing the race. And so we're very excited. We're second in points with one of our cars, and we want to go try to win the inaugural. And we won the inaugural Indy Grand Prix. We won the inaugural New Orleans Grand Prix. So we're hoping we can win the inaugural Nashville Grand Prix. But we'll be in
there. We're rooting for you, that's for sure.
They got concerts going on from 8 to 5. I don't even know if people can still get tickets, to tell you the truth, but it's going to be a hell of an event. I can't wait for it.
It's been promoted very regularly here in Nashville and on the news. Just the other day, they were talking about everything they have done to make the road, the track, per se, how safe it's going to be with all the upgrades they've done. So I'm looking forward to watching it on TV. I don't have tickets to get downtown, but it would be, this household would definitely be rooting you on. So I hope you can catch up on some points and move ahead.
That'd be great.
So, all right, Sam, now let me ask this question here. You did mention that I didn't know about your dad, all right, with his injury. And so you said it wasn't your first rodeo. All right, after watching him all them years, then you having your accident, how were you able to maintain staying positive? You're going, man, I saw what Dad did. I saw what Dad went through. Now I got to go through it because I can't do this. But he was doing this, but I can't. It had to be going back and forth in your head, and something. So how were you able to maintain this positivity?
Yeah, I would be lying anybody would if they wouldn't, if they don't say they have some dark days, right? And some dark mornings and just disappointment. Like, I can't keep my teach my kids how to drive, which is like a rite of passage. You know, toss a football, those kind of things. I mean, I guess I have taught them how to drive now, but I wouldn't want them driving with my system, so to speak. But, you know, the again, I'm cursed and fortunate that I have sort of a number of business enterprises. I got a number of miles to feed, and I just feel this, you know, overwhelming sense of responsibility that I get up, I do my thing, and I go. You know, I don't dwell on the negative side too much. You know, so again, it's that support system. I know I'm just really blessed to have my family, my wife, and the capabilities now with the businesses to, you know, to support what is a horrible insurance and reimbursement situation. You know, for most people, it doesn't even matter if you're a veteran, who disabled veterans, we should be doing, you know, as much or more than anybody because of, you know, because of their sacrifice. And it's just frustrating as hell, the lack of programs in the VA to get people back to work and back into life. But all that to say, you know, I just, try and keep as much of a positive outlook. The racing is my goal in life, but I challenge people to, what is your goal? I mean, you want to play ping pong, you want to be a Paralympic, you want to be a Paralympian, you want to, you know, do something with computers. Do you just want to go back to work? Is it mobility? What's standing in your way? And we'll try and connect the dots and see if we can help you.
Set those little baby steps and achieve little at a time. And when you look back, those little steps are going to be equal to 1,000 steps, something huge. So if you really, really want to accomplish something, I mean, it's very little that can stop you. I really believe that we talk ourselves out of trying things more than our challenge does. I can't do this because, well, what if this, what, yeah, so I don't know what's going to happen if. So I think we talk ourselves out of self-sabotage
every year.
More than that, but more than the outside does to us.
Every year I try and do something with my kids around their birthdays or Father's Day or something, like, hey, what do you want to do this year? You know, and most years it's been pretty mild. I mean, we've raced a hot air balloon. We've, like I said, we've taken drives in the car. We've done different things. But about 2 years ago, they challenged us and said, hey, we want to drop out. We want to go skydiving. And it was one of those things where I said, oh, yeah, sure, kids. Whenever you want to set that up, no problem.
That's right.
Thinking it would just kick the can. And your mother wouldn't let them do it and all this kind of stuff. And sure enough, you know, exactly just a little over a year ago, around Father's Day, they called me down and said, we got it set up. I had a friend that's done over, you know, 5,000 dives here in Vegas, and he set it up for him. And I'm like, oh, crap, now I'm stuck, you know. But ironically, as my wife was the first one there, you know, duct taping my arms together and making sure I wasn't going to be yard sale. So, you know, we jumped out of an airplane, and that's on YouTube too, you know. So it's you just got to figure it out. You can't. It's like I went scuba diving, and I mean, putting me in a wetsuit is like putting toothpaste back in a tube. So you have to kind of do it one inch at a time, not like anybody else just steps in and goes. So it takes more effort. It takes more time to do anything in this situation, but you know, I got time, and I want to do it. So I want to do it bad enough. I just make it happen. Put the head down. To your point about my dad and going through it again, I think part of it is we're so down. You know, we're a competitive family, or else we wouldn't be in motorsports. And
I believe that is huge. That we I did the same thing. I used to be an athlete and everything, so I use this competition in a new direction now.
And if he went through two years of outpatient therapy and came out a lot better than he thought he would, well, I'll be damned if I'm going to let him, you know, beat me on that front. I got to give it everything, you know, for as long as it takes. And I did a lot of PT those first 4 or 5 years. I mean, a lot. And I was frustrated that I didn't get more back than what I did. But I finally did come to the resolution that I can roll into any hospital room and say, man, what's your problem? Because most people are paraplegics, and you hit them right between the eyes and say, you got your arms. I would do anything to have my arms. So it sucks, but get up and do something with your life. You still can be be a father, you still can have kids, you can still do everything you want to do in life and more, and then you'll inspire other people by doing it. So, you know, sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. I've had a lot of pissed off moms and dads come outside the hospital room and say, what are you doing telling my kid that? I'm like, somebody's got to tell him from a point of experience. It doesn't matter if he hears it from a walking OT or PT or something like that. It's, you know, somebody's been there, done that's got to tell him. So about 6 months later, I'll get a thank you letter, you know, so it's worth it. And, you know, the ones that it doesn't have an impact on, you know, so be it. But we try.
Yeah, somewhere they've got to get that foundation that there is hope, there is life, and try to live it the best that you can. Because, again, when they're freshly injured, you don't know. You don't know what to ask. You don't know what to look for. Yeah. But when you meet other people that's done it, it gives them that inspiration. So, all right, Sam, I want to ask you here. When you got hurt, you let your license, did you let your driver's license expire and then had to go back and re-get them? Because when I had my injury, and I'm a quadriplegic, but I can move my arms. I don't have much fingers and stuff. Yeah. But when I first got injured, I thought my driving days was over because I hadn't met anybody else in a wheelchair at that time. And so my mom, she goes, well, don't you want to go ahead and keep them up? I said, no, I'm not going to drive again. No, ain't paying that money out. And she says, well, you don't know. And I said, yeah, I know. And I ended up driving again. So I had to go take the test all over again. So I tell anybody who gets paralyzed, keep your driver's license current so you don't have to take the test. Even if you never drive again, you have the opportunity. It's out there.
Yeah, Nevada DMV, or DMV, some states call it. But when I got hurt 21 years ago, my license was valid. And so I got away every 2 years, you have to renew it. And I got away for like 3 renewals online because I obviously didn't have a ticket. It lets you automatically renew it online. But like once every 8 or 10 years, you have to go. I have to go get a new picture, get a new ID. And so that's when I went in and they said, we can't give you a driver's license looking like that. So they gave me a photo ID, but I needed something to fly for the race team and everything. So that's why I kept it up. And then when Arrow came in and we did this thing, we called Nevada DMV, said, here's what we're going to do. And they let me go in and take a driver test. I had to wait in line like everybody else and get somebody with me and drive around town and park it. And we did all that successfully with the Arrow car. So I have a current license, you know. You probably went through training for your situation. I know there's a lot of regional training with hand controls and different devices. And so that being said, I don't really like to drive in the street because there's just too many people that don't know what I'm doing. And I think as time goes on, when every car has anti-lane changing or brake assist or some of these other, you know, autonomous devices, I think then it'd be pretty cool to do it. But right now, I prefer to go to the track and go fast.
Hey, oh, yeah, yeah. That would be me. I was never a race driver like you yourself, but I did do some stuff on the streets. Don't tell my local city where I live that, because I don't guess they'll come after me 38 years later. But, yeah, I used to do it on the streets here. But yeah, those were what we call the good old days for me. So, hey, I'm like you. You mentioned, again, your family support. I tell people, I don't think I'd be where I'm at today if it wasn't for their sacrifice to make sure that I'm taken care of, to make sure that I'm able to do and reach certain goals in life, that they've sacrificed so much for me as well. One last promotion on Nashville this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. Number one, if you want to follow the foundation and what we're doing at Driven, that's conquerparalysisnow.org. And there's a link to the Driven facility there. We're looking to expand that, and it's going gangbusters. Fortunately, unfortunately, the team is arrowmclarensp.com. We have a ton of social media content and a lot of great things those kids do over there. Pato Awards, Suggett and Boyce, number 5. Felix Rosenquist, number 7. If you root for them, become a fan, that'd be great. And, just 3 races in a row here, all on NBC. Nashville, following weekend is Indy Grand Prix on Saturday. following weekend after that is St. Louis Saturday night. So watch. IndyCar is great. It's anybody can win on any given weekend, and it's just become a great format. And we'll be racing for a long time to come out.
There we go. All right, Dan, I'll put those links down in the description for anybody who comes finds these or finds it on the podcast so they can click and go to it quicker. So I'll put that in for you. And one last thing, Sam, then we'll get you out of here. So you know the people, we know they're struggling, people are hurting, they're looking to get out of something. If you can give them a positive message on how or what to do, man, that'd be awesome. Thank you.
Well, most of my message has already been spoken in that, you know, just like you said, you got to take baby steps. I didn't just become an IndyCar team owner overnight. I went to a few races, talked to a hell of a lot of people, got support from the community, from the motorsport sanctioning body, and I started with a new lights team, which is a lot less risk, a lot less demands on me, less races. I think it was, you know, 8 or 10 races, and you could do the thing with 4 or 5 people. And, you know, we just kind of chipped away at it year after year and wound up winning 8 championships in 75 races. And then we became a team owner in Indy, which, you know, is a hell of a lot more responsibility. You've got 60 people now, and, you know, it costs a lot of money to do it. So you got to have the financial backers and partners to do that. So whatever it is, I think you can take the same approach, whether it's online learning or again, you know, there's a lot of corporations now that have a lot of initiatives to get people back to work with disabilities. And technology in the last 5 years, let's face it, has just look at Alexa and Siri and what your phone could do. I know I don't use 10% of what my phone could do. And so there is a lot of tools out there that we didn't have 20, 38 years ago, whatever. And so you just got to want to do it and got to have a little bit of drive and determination. And people will help you, and we're here to help and give advice and send people the right direction. But that online, there's just tons of you know, devices and mechanical or electronic that can help you get through the day and help you get up and help you do something with your life. You just gotta want to do it. You gotta you know, dig deep sometimes. And I think 3 of the last 7 days, I have not wanted to get out of bed because I was tired or had some other reason, but I did because I got responsibility and I want to go to the racetrack this weekend, you know? So, you just got to force yourself to do it sometimes. If we can help, let me know.
Dig deep into yourself and use some perseverance is what I used to say, or is what I am saying. Yeah. So, hey, I'm going to tell you, we got one question here, and you touched on it earlier. I don't know if Sam made it in, but this is Sam. This is Sam O'Coon and Sam Smith. He wants to know how deep mentally did you have to go to overcome? And you touched on that earlier. And so if you can come back to this question with Sam, and then we'll get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes it's really deep. Sometimes it's not. I mean, again, I had a beautiful wife and young kids, and I wanted to be a good example for them. I also didn't want my wife to be my primary caregiver, so I had to take risk. I had to, you know, take some leaps, take some faith to try and build a business where I could support myself and hire my own caregivers and hire my own assistants so that my wife could, you know, be the primary person for the kids and we could do things together, you know. So it is sometimes it goes smoothly, and sometimes it doesn't, as we know. So, you know, you got to break down those barriers one by one and make it happen if you really want to do it.
There you go. Thank you, brother. Sam O'Coon, thank you for coming in and listening and watching. Sam Smith, thank you for coming in and sharing your valuable time with us and the listeners. For anyone else that's coming in on the replay, be sure to share this out for someone that you know that may be struggling. Again, they don't have to be a quadriplegic that's permanently from the neck down, or quadriplegic like myself is moved somewhat. But you know, some people need some type of help, some type of encouragement, some motivation, inspiration. Be sure to share that out with them and give them some help. Again, Bo Sam, thank you for coming here. Everyone else, do something today, tomorrow, something next week that's going to help you persevere past your paralysis.
Thanks for listening to the Professor of Perseverance podcast for motivation, inspiration, and encouragement. For more information, go to Facebook at Professor of Perseverance. Visit the website at professorofperseverance.com and view the YouTube channel, Dr. James Perdue, Professor of Perseverance.